Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Slick.
Sometimes when we take 3 weeks off, we lose the rhythm that we've built up.
Yeah. Wait, we had rhythm in the first place?
The rhythm was inside.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
That's where I kept it.
Safe from bears.
Just thrown off by the rapid temperature chain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dramatic here.
It's cold here now.
Minnesota decided to have video game style autumn. On August 31st, it was 80 degrees. On September 1st, it was 50 degrees. So.
Yep. I've got three layers and a cup of tea right now.
Mm-hmm. You know what else we've got?
What?
Theme music. Derek! And welcome to a special holiday episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, home to the most orange sunrises on Earth. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
It's not actually a holiday episode. And hopefully the orange thing is temporary.
I hope.
Labor Day two days ago.
2 years ago?
It feels like it was 2 years ago.
God. It's been a week, guys. But yeah, it's been a couple weeks since we last met. I've been traveling. Danny's been busy. Eric had a wisdom tooth forcibly removed from his head.
That's true.
And Derek's been doing all those mysterious Derek things that he does in his house. We don't talk about the Derek things.
It's true. We don't. I got an email from Derek.
Yes?
That was it.
Okay.
It wasn't about Eurovision.
Oh.
Was it a multi-level marketing ploy?
It is, yes. He is selling pot holders for $50.
Yikes.
Bargain.
They're really nice. They're studded with fake Swarovski crystals.
They're studded with Sergei Lazarov's face.
Okay, is there any way that we can get that onto our Redbubble site?
I don't see why not.
We just found a way to triple our revenue.
Sweet. Which makes it a nice segue into, we've got a Redbubble site. Yay.
We do.
If you want some...
We've mentioned it before.
We have, but I just figure while we're plugging our social media, may as well plug our Redbubble. Because we don't have a Patreon or a coffee account or anything like that. But if you want to get some sweet, sweet, sweet 12 Points from America swag from the show, if you want people to know that you keep your rhythm inside to keep it safe from bears, mm-hmm. you can buy the t-shirt.
That
says just that. Mm-hmm. You could buy a face mask with our logo on it in the wonderful world that we are living in now. Mm-hmm. Some bright spot of joy in an otherwise crummy, crummy universe is our logo on your mask.
Yeah, you can go to the Target and let everyone know what podcast you like with your face.
And not just your mouth telling people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that way you don't have to talk to anyone, which nobody wants to do.
But you might not want to talk to anybody, but we would still love it if you interacted with us on our social media. You could hit us up on Twitter or Facebook at 12pointsUSA. Email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com or our website itself, 12pointsfromamerica.com. Huzzah. We don't have a LinkedIn or MySpace or anything like that, but, you know, maybe we'll get bored.
Could we get a MySpace? Can you still get a MySpace?
I have
Yeah,
no
you
idea.
Can. You really can. Yeah. It's mostly for music now, so we'd have to be a band.
Okay. Cool. Well, check us out on MySpace soon. Coming soon, for sure.
Think Tom will still be our friend?
What happened
sold
to that
out.
Guy? Yeah.
He made millions. That's what he did. Tom, hit us up.
Yep. Shout out to Tom from MySpace, friend of the show. Yeah. He got offered like $1 billion and was like, sweet, I will gladly be done with MySpace. I think who wouldn't take that deal, you know?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I love you guys, but if somebody offered me $1 billion to get off of this podcast so they could take it over, I'm hightailing it out and like buying a house on the Algarve, you know, assuming I could fly to the Algarve right now. But
well,
I'm going to get an A-frame cabin in the Borscht Belt.
Ooh.
I'll just stay where I am and buy more video games.
That seems
on brand. Dollar ones.
Beautiful. Have we actually run down our social media?
I just did.
Oh.
Danny, why don't you listen to me?
Oh, hey, Derek, somebody should... No, I'm just kidding.
MySpace.
Hey, what's going on in Eurovision world? In addition to it becoming winter in Minnesota already, apparently there is legitimately a frost advisory in Minnesota tonight.
Oh, don't tell
amazing.
Me that.
I'm sorry. It's okay. By the time you're listening to this, Internet, it will be over and we'll be fine, hopefully.
Yeah, back up to 70 degrees Fahrenheit this weekend, something like that.
So weird. Anyway, it's September, and you know what that means.
New Eurovision year! Yay!
Is this Happy when the New year Eurovision. Officially starts?
Yep, it's the fiscal year. It almost aligns with Jewish New Year. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah and Eurovision, it's only a couple weeks apart. Yeah, I'll take that. Apples and honey for all.
Yes.
But yeah, basically the EBU has a sort of kind of stipulation slash rule that if a song is released before September 1st of previous year of Eurovision, it can't go. But after September 1st, it's all fair game. If a song is 3 minutes or under and released after September 1st, it could potentially be a Eurovision song. It's incredible. That song could be released on YouTube, like right now, possibly.
And that song's name was Albert Einstein. Anyway, yeah.
And that song's name, that was me.
Are we likely to actually get anything before FICMAS, assuming there is a FICMAS?
We didn't last year.
There will be a FICMAS. The Albanians have said that Festival e Kungës will go on. They haven't necessarily specifically said that it'll be a Eurovision selection show, but FICMAS has been FICMAS before it was a Eurovision selection. It's been going on since the 60s. So win or not, whatever happens, we will always have FICMAS. But whether or not like a country will actually say their artist beforehand, it can happen. Normally we get another name or two by October, November. I feel like Hoover Phonic was announced pretty early last year.
Oh, yes. Cyprus is supposed to announce in November, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to follow in the footsteps of Sandro?
Oh, you know what they should do is they should just bring Eleni back.
That would make a lot of people very, very happy.
I know, including me. That's why I'm saying they should do it. Now, we, because of the world we now live in, we don't know any of the songs, obviously, for Eurovision 2021, but we do know close to half the field already.
It's so weird.
Which is really quite odd.
Who's in? Do we have Hungary again?
I don't think Hungary's going to be back for a while. Because it's a political thing. I think we could get Montenegro back.
I hope so. I think last year they bowed out because of budgetary reasons.
Mm-hmm. Nothing
from Slovakia. I think it's going to be a no from them, or however you say no in Slovak. Sorry.
Probably no.
Yeah. Nay. Yeah,
looks like Slovakia has already officially said no.
Ooh.
Fala nay. Nay, nay, nay.
This is the Eurovision equivalent of putting up a no soliciting sign.
Stop asking us. It looks like a lot of the Eurovision fan sites have done their due diligence and reached out to a number of the other lovable former participants, Luxembourg, Monaco, places like that. And most have already confirmed that they will not be returning. There's always that little glimmer of hope from Turkey, but no, it never seems to pan out. Morocco, we would love to see them return. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. There were rumblings from Andorra. We haven't necessarily heard anything concrete. It might be kicked forward to 2022. Who the heck knows? Mm-hmm. COVID is messing everything up. But so far, we have a really, really mighty handful of more than five artists.
Rimsky-Korsakov is there.
Oh, man. Bees.
Surprise entrant Tajikistan?
If only.
Can you imagine?
I miss Turkvision. I really miss Turkvision.
They could make like a wrestling style entrance. The national anthem just starts playing.
Yeah, everyone turns, goes, oh! Yeah.
It's Kazakhstan's music. No!
And then
Brock Lesnar throws Tom Lieb off a chair.
Or Sweden performs a heel turn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a couple years ago, I feel like.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to WeWe blogs, supposedly Andorra has made a verbal commitment to returning in 2022.
There's the possibility. See, but, yeah. We can dream. I would love to see it happen. I would love to hear Catalan sung on a Eurovision stage once again. Mm. Suzanne Georgie, who represented them in 2009, who's actually Danish by birth, but has really sort of adopted Andorra as her home, has really supposedly been doing a lot of work behind the scenes to try to get this going again. Not necessarily for her to participate as a singer, but just to get the country back at the contest. So, you know, if she makes it happen, more power to her. But a little confirmation of who we do have in terms of countries who have announced their artist already. We have Montaigne returning for Australia, Vincent Bueno returning for Austria, Effendi for Azerbaijan, Hoover Phonic from Belgium, Victoria for Bulgaria, and they've done a lot of press recently talking about a songwriting camp on the Black Sea coast, bringing in a bunch of people from Symphonics and a bunch of other songwriters and singers. I believe Ben Dolich was also on site there, potentially working on more music, hopefully with Symphonics.
And he's not back though, right?
Not officially.
Unreal.
Germany, I think, has basically opened the door to everybody, saying, Ben, if you want to submit another song, we'll give you a shot, but if there's something better, they're leaving the door open, which I don't think is that terrible of an idea. See, Benny Cristo for the Czech Republic is back. Tornike Kipiani from Georgia. Stefania from Greece. Iden Elene from Israel. Samantha Tina from Latvia. So I won't be the only Samantha in the press room next year, which...
Oh, good.
Yeah. Destiny from Malta is coming back. Natalia Gordienko from Moldova. Roxen from Romania. Senit from San Marino. We'll get back to her in just a moment. Anna Soklic from Slovenia. John's Tears from Ukraine. It's John Tears from Switzerland. Go off from Ukraine. My eyes kind of crossed there. Pardon me. Blas Canto for Spain and hometown hero Jean-Gu McCroy singing for the Netherlands. So that is a long list.
Good. Is the UK bringing back James Newman or whatever his name was?
They haven't said anything. They haven't even officially confirmed that they're coming back next year. But they
wouldn't that be wild if they didn't come back?
They always pull this. I mean,
Eurovision doesn't want them back.
speak for yourself. Russia does the same thing, too. They don't really say much of anything until they have to, so...
Play coy.
I don't know. Maybe we don't come back. Who knows?
You have to wait and see. Anyway, a lot of things have already happened so far. It's been a very strange year, as we all know, but we'll see what happens next.
Who's going to win?
Are we doing this again?
Sure, why not?
Ukraine.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Switzerland. It's going to be Switzerland. If only because I would love to be able to, you know, attend a Eurovision in, Innsbruck?
That's Austria.
Oh, well, where would they go? Zurich. There we go. Geneva. They'll be holding Eurovision on the top floor of the United Nations legal headquarters.
Just one person sitting on top of the jet d'eau.
Yeah.
Woohoo. So, yeah. So, Senit has been continuing to Senit.
Senit is on a freaky trip to Rotterdam. That's the hashtag. And has been covering a new Eurovision song. Is it once a month? I think it's
once a month. Yeah.
And is apparently going to keep doing so until May.
Until we stop her.
Which is exciting.
She can't be convinced by conventional weapons.
That's right.
She did one of my favorite songs, actually.
Ding a Dong?
Yeah, I really like Ding a Dong.
Yeah.
It's so damn cute.
That's one of my favorite winners. But I have to say, as much as I like Ding a Dong and as much as I love Senit, this one didn't do it for me.
No.
But that's fine. If only because she didn't really add anything to it. I wanted Senit to go absolutely nutso with it. But there's not much you can do to this song because it's so corny anyway.
Yeah. I mean, did you hear her cover of Every Way That I Can?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Better.
Man, that was... That was wild and an unfortunate choice of phrasing at the end of the music video. But what can you do?
Yeah.
Of all the people in the world that gets a pass, it's Senit.
Uh-huh. All of San Marino.
Yeah. Yes. If you're from San Marino, you can say anything you want.
What about the little robots who were helping them out in 2018?
They can do no wrong.
Okay. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Robot human war, they'll be spared.
Yeah. God. Considering that, like, probably the entire military budget of San Marino went into those robots. All right. So somebody on our little prep notes that we have here simply wrote Waterloo top comment.
Oh, yeah. I'll make this quick. The most watched video of Waterloo by ABBA on YouTube.
Yes.
I just want everyone to know that the top comment on that video now, it says, play Ya Ya Ding Dong.
Yes.
That's it. That's the news item.
In lieu of an actual Eurovision, I'm glad that we got at least one major annual event to constantly obsess over for the next 6 months.
I'm just happy that we got something to serve us up the memes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, you noticed something as you were perusing Netflix.
I did. Yeah. I couldn't believe this. I figured Netflix had a deal to have the 2019 Eurovision viewable, semifinals, finals, the whole thing. And we're going to do the same thing for 2020. And with the movie coming out, I figured that'll be on there for a long time. I can come back to it and watch when I'm having a bad day or whatever. And as it turned out, a few weeks ago, I was having a bad day and I wanted to watch a couple of songs from the 2019 final, possibly that cool interval act with Conchita and Bones and so on that I love.
Okay, that cool interval act. Good, good. I thought you were going to talk about the other one.
Yeah, no.
Interval act that shall not be named. Okay, that's moving on.
It's gone. It was taken down sometime earlier this year. I think in May is what somebody told me. But yeah, they took it down, much to my horror and regret. And that bummed me out a whole lot.
That seems like a really poor decision.
Right, usually, like, when they yank something like that without any warning, it means that something's in the works. But we know that there's nothing in the works,
right? And like with the movie, you would think they would want to have this real contest for people to be like, oh, you're one of the zillions of people that watch this movie. Why don't you also watch the real Eurovision? It would have been a huge thing. I believe it was gone before the movie even came out.
That's crazy.
No, it was still around.
Was it?
I think so.
Oh. I guess I'm not positive of that part, but it's gone now. And I was really bummed. Until a few days later, Liz, my cool lady friend, surprised me with a copy of the Eurovision DVD.
Yay.
2019. Region Zero has the semifinals, has everything, has some special features. And
it has the semifinals too.
Fortune. But the best part, it also came with a note that Amazon printed out. It says, a gift for you to bring you comfort and take you to your happy place because Netflix can eat it. From Liz.
Oh, I thought that was Amazon.
Shout out to Netflix, not a friend of the show.
That's right. But I was looking at it. Here it is. I'm holding it up.
Oh, so shiny.
A dream. Yeah. It's Region Zero. Plays in my DVD player, aka my Xbox, because who has a DVD player? And I was just kind of in awe. And then I saw the best thing. The best part of this whole DVD is this little fine print on the back that says, and I quote, "This DVD set does not include the interval act and interview with Madonna and Chris."
Oh, wow.
Wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles.
Warner Brothers Music inadvertently sparing the world by virtue of copyright claim.
Like, how do you make the 2019 Eurovision even better? You take that nonsense out, and that's exactly what we have here.
It's literally not even available. I love that.
It's erased from the annals of Eurovision history.
That's right. Yep. Shout out to Liz, friend of the show. Shout out to Madonna and Quavo, enemies of the show. You can get this on Amazon if you're in the US. And again, it is Region Zero, so you can watch it anywhere, which is the big thing. I'm not sure if the older ones work that way or not.
I think they're Region Zero, but they might not necessarily work on DVD players because of a PAL versus NTSC.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it is PAL.
So it might not work on a DVD player, you know, if it's coded a certain way. But it obviously, if it's working on your PS3.
Yeah, if you happen to have an Xbox One X.
Xbox, excuse me.
Nah, you're fine. Eh. They're all the same. I'm going to really piss somebody off by saying that.
I'm a Luddite when it comes to gaming, so what do I know? Yeah.
If you happen to have an Xbox One X, I can tell you that it works on that. Shout out to Xbox, friend of the show.
End of the show.
Oh, you know what it's time for, you guys?
What? What is it?
It's time for
Fred Watch!
Fred Watch. It's back.
Friendship with Maruv canceled. Fred is now my best friend.
That's right. Fred from Kano, our friends at Kano, is on, it is called Skal Vi Dans, or Strictly Come Dancing, Norwegian edition, you know.
I mean, Norway gets Fred. We get Carol Baskin.
That's right. We did get Carol Baskin. I can't believe that.
Reason number 87, why Norway's better than us.
I know. I don't know how many murderers are on Norwegians Dancing with the Stars. But anyway, Fred, he's still alive. There's been one show. And to be fair, no one has been eliminated yet. But that means Fred hasn't been eliminated. He did a waltz. He held a lady over his head while waltzing. Though the waltz music contained what was very clearly his own yoinking, which was great. And he got a score of 17 from the judges, which ties him for last place.
Oh, Fred.
Yeah. But he hasn't been eliminated, and he just needs to be not as bad as one of the other folks to stay alive.
The thing is, like, thinking back to Maruv Watch, she was doing things like striptease and, like, club dancing. And now I have the image in my head of Fred doing some Maruv moves. And it's Maruvs. Yes, Maruvs, as they were. That's an image. That's an image.
Yeah. The impression I'm getting is that Fred doesn't dance. So he was an interesting choice for this show. I saw there was a blog on the official Norwegian broadcaster website or something kind of giving some betting odds for this season of Skal Vi Dans. He is at the bottom of that.
Oh, Fred.
He's not expected to do especially well. The high score in the first week is a woman in a wheelchair, which is kind of cool.
Good honor.
She's one of the favorites. She's the first performer on that show, on that particular version of the show. I'm not sure about any of the others, who uses a wheelchair. She is one of the contestants. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Note to self, watch more Norwegian Strictly Come Dancing.
That's right.
I will not.
Well, you're missing out. We get to see Fred until he's knocked out next week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That concludes this edition
of Fred Watch.
That was his, like, yoink, but, like, electronic version.
Gotcha. No, that was good.
Good to know.
Clearly.
Nice.
All right. What else we got?
So we are approaching the release/... you know, point of usefulness of the famed Statmatron. Is that
the
correct?
The games style unveiling of the Statmatron.
That's correct.
Would you like to see a stat?
For those unaware, the official 12 points from America Eurovision Statmatron is a giant F-off spreadsheet that I've been working on that is full of little tidbits and calculations and things like that that we can use to find out fun facts about Eurovision.
Mm-hmm.
It has every song in the contest history and their total number of points and a number of other things. And I have already done some analysis on a few different things, including running order and some things related to language and so on. But we're going to save some of those for a longer episode where we get into a deeper dive. But for now, we're just going to do a little bit of Eurovision trivia using the Statmotron. Mm.
Okay, I hate this.
And Let's see. One of the things I wanted to know was... we know which songs have the most points, but what I was curious about is which songs were the most dominant in relation to the number of points they could have had, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And I ran some numbers. Here's what I found out. Taking a look at basically the percentage of points a song could have possibly gotten based on how the points were done at the time. What do you think was the most dominant winner of all time?
Mm.
In relation to how many points they could have got.
I think I might know this one.
Got to be a little earlier. I was going to say Satellite.
I think I may have heard something like this stat before. I don't know if I'm misremembering it, but maybe Save Your Kisses for Me.
Oh, yikes.
Okay. All right. Derek says Fairy Tale. Danny says Satellite, his favorite. And Sam says Save Your Kisses for Me. Derek is correct.
It's
Fairy Tale.
Okay.
Satellite. Okay. What are you talking about? Satellite. Fairy Tale. I'm in love.
Fairy Light.
With a satellite. Anyway.
Hurts.
Yes. 76.79 of the possible points is what Fairy Tale got.
Percentage wise? Wow.
Yeah. 76% of all possible points. From there, 76%. Second place is Heroes.
Really?
Heroes got a lot of points. Save Your Kisses for Me is third. After that, we have Love Shine a Light and Rock and Roll Kids.
Really?
Rounding out the top five.
Wow.
In terms of points they could have possibly had.
I'm thinking I may have heard the whole Save Your Kisses for Me being dominant. Maybe I heard that stat back in like 2008 before Fairy Tale 1 and before Heroes. So maybe I just have outdated information.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly possible.
I've been at this game a long time, guys.
Notable sixth place with 75.2% of the points it could have gotten is Amar Pelish Deutsch, which is remarkable because there were twice as many points for it to potentially get.
I was going to say, yes, Italy was back.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, now any one country can get 24 points from any particular country. And Amar Pelish Deutsch still did remarkably well. 75.2% of the possible points it could have gotten, which is crazy. Let's look at the other end of the spectrum.
Oh, no.
There are two winners that got less than half of the points they could have possibly gotten. Every other winner got at least 50%. I should have mentioned this quite a bit earlier. This is since they introduced the 12-10-8 system.
Okay, so me saying one of the four winners from 1969, that wouldn't count for this.
Not at this time.
So this has to be a year when it was all rather close.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks up at the top with a lot of points.
Maybe 1990, Fångad av en stavvind for Sweden, for Carola.
Jeez, I might guess last year.
Mm.
Is it The Dunk?
The Dunk.
No, The Dunk has the third lowest dominance rating, though. 50.61%.
Okay.
Fourth lowest, by the way, is
Toy. 2018? Is Toy, yeah.
I net it because...
I thought, because it's a lot of people up at the top.
Yeah, and there are just so many more points you have to get to be quote-unquote dominant. So Jamala is pretty close to the bottom at 52.98. Satellite, by the way, 52.56. Danny, in case you were curious. There are a couple of winners that didn't get to half the possible vote.
Wow. I mean, are we going to reach for the low-hanging fruit and say Running Scared?
Yes, that is one of them.
Okay.
Running Scared had the lowest 42.83% of the possible points, and it still won. The next lowest is 49. To say it was the least dominant winner of all time, it's an easy thing to say, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Wow.
Any thoughts on the other one, though?
So that would be lower than or more popular than Running Scared when it came to vote? Okay.
More popular than Running Scared in terms of points, but not anything else in the history of the contest.
Marie N., Iwana. Everybody for Estonia?
Nope. Actually, don't see that near the bottom at all. No, everybody had... Oh, actually, everybody is towards the top.
That you know what? I'm just forgetting how crappy 2000 was.
Yeah.
You know what? Could it be because there are so many close to the top every way that I can?
That is towards the bottom, but it is not that low. I'll end your misery here. It is my number one.
Really?
2005.
Huh.
Yeah. My number one didn't quite get half of its potential points.
Never even heard of it. Doesn't ring a bell. Sounds like it's for a reason.
It's one of those early 21st century ethnobops. Yeah. That a lot of fans very much love.
21st century ethno bop.
I haven't thought about that song in years.
Yeah. This is just one of the many, many things that the Statmotron will be able to tell us.
One of the many, many ways in which Eric can torture us with the Statmotron.
That's right.
Is a Spanish Inquisition's worth of Eurovision Song Contest trivia.
And we're going to dedicate an entire episode to the goodness of the Statmotron coming up soon as we delve into running orders. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to do a lot of talking about running order.
Yeah, that'll be coming up in the next few weeks.
Notably, or I might actually be wrong on this, but Eric, you are not slaving through the additional task of cataloging all of the junior Eurovision stats.
Not yet. Although the junior Eurovision Statmotron would be a lot easier to put together because there's just less of it. But I might eventually.
It's Scotland,
if I'm bored enough. Yeah.
You may have to put in Comic Sans or something like that. All like rainbow colors.
Yeah.
Word art.
Lots of stars for no reason.
Oh, yay. Fun. Put it in windings.
Yeah. Oh, God. Speaking of Junior Eurovision.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's happening. It's coming.
That is the one that we actually have significant news about.
Yeah, a decent amount. We've gotten word from the EBU. We have 13 countries officially signed up for this one, down from 20. But the European Broadcasting Union has said that countries are still actually able to join. They're still, the window isn't completely slammed shut on this.
If you would still like to sign up for after school activities, signups are open through the month.
Mm-hmm. And so far, we've got two songs selected. Germany in their debut. Their debut entry.
Are sending Ben Dolich. He's still 14.
I would believe you, honestly. they are sending the monominous da, 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 Susan. Just Susan.
Yes, I'm sorry. She's probably great. She's probably fine, but I don't know. There's something great about in 2020 just being like, and then Susan.
She's singing the song Stronger With You. That is primarily in German with an English language chorus. So she was selected last week. Ukraine has announced that the song Big Krivai by Oleksandr Balabanov will represent Ukraine. Interestingly enough, Oleksandr was declared the winner days before the public had actually weighed in, which sounds sketchy.
Suspicious.
But the way that it was working was that the jury, the jury had 6 out of 7 slots and had selected their favorite. And
the jury
vote
was so overwhelming that the public didn't matter anymore.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we knew a couple of days before how dominantly Oleksandr had won the Ukrainian selection. Yeah, so a little bit strange, but song's great. And we'll delve into the songs. I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
Well, we'll get to those when we do our JESC review show.
Exactly.
How much does it sound like Go Ah?
Not at all.
Oh, all right. Eric and I aren't interested then.
Fun fact about the Ukrainian entry is that Oleksandr is the first male singer to represent Ukraine at Junior since, as far as I can tell, 2009. They have sent female artists, either female soloists or groups, every year since then. But yeah, this is the first one since Andranik Alexanyan with the song Tri Topoli Tri Surbi. And yeah, so Oleksandr is a dude.
Finally, men are making headway at Eurovision.
How has Ukraine done it, Junior? Have they won before?
They have won before.
Yeah, actually. I was going to say, they haven't done too bad.
Yeah, they have done pretty solidly over the years. Let me look up the actual numbers. I know that they've won it at least once. They've won it just the once. Anastasia Petrik with Nebo winning in 2012. Also coming in second place, Victoria Petrik, Anastasia's older sister, in 2008 with Matrosi, and Sofia Tarasova coming in second place in 2013 with We Are One. Last year, the song The Spirit of Music came in 15th place.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't very good.
I liked that one.
All right.
It was chill. Yeah. We have one other name that we add to the list for Jusk this year, and that is the artist from Spain, a 9-year-old singer named Soleá.
Nine years old.
So definitely one of the younger ones. She has sort of a pop flamenco vibe, but we don't know anything about her song quite yet. But considering that last year they sent a young opera singer, this year they're going for more of a flamenco vibe. I mean, Spain is going to Spain.
What was her name? The Spanish singer from last year?
From last year? That was Melanie Garcia.
That's right.
No, sorry, Melanie Garcia.
Garcia from Barcelona, or yes, wherever she's from. She should have won.
She was incredible.
Holy cow. She was so good. There was I don't think it was a home concert. It was some other Eurovision tribute thing after the contest got canceled, where,
what should have been the Spain pre-party. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was. They had her on and she sang La Forza from ESC 2018. And
I saw that.
Absolutely crushed it.
Yeah.
Like the insane high notes at the end of that, she hit them all. Those might actually be lower than the ones she had in her own song. But
you can do that in her sleep.
Absolutely, absolutely crushed that song. She's great. They should, with respect to this random 9-year-old, they should bring her back.
Well, Melanie is 13 now, so if they don't bring her back this year, they could still bring her back next year, and she would still be kosher for Junior.
Yeah. This other kid has plenty of time.
Yeah, exactly. Let her ferment a little longer. The vintage is still coming up. Yeah, so honestly, Spain has a hell of a good track record. Prior to last year, they had last performed in 2006, but in their five previous attempts, they have come in first once, they've come in twice in second place, one bronze, and one fourth place. They have not done any worse than fourth place at Junior.
That's ridiculous.
That's the opposite of their adult performance.
I know, right? It's like after they hit a certain age, it's like, nope. But yeah, so time will tell how little Soleá does, but should be good. Should be exciting.
That's great. We also have some news on how this contest is going to be run.
Yeah.
Which is, I think we talked in the last episode about how it seemed plausible that they were going to use Junior as a testing ground for some possible contingencies for the big show.
That's right, yeah.
The big show next year. And, well?
They are, instead of doing a normal, standard Junior Eurovision, like, we knew that it was going to be based in a television studio in Warsaw rather than a big arena. And they have announced that the artists will be performing from their home countries in similar TV studios, that the EBU will mandate that each one of the studios have similar technological capabilities as each other. So these kids will have approximately equal opportunities and equal space, equal, camera angles, things like that. But they will not be on the ground in Poland, which is kind of heartbreaking, but it's...
Yeah. I wish that they would have just done the NBA thing and just put them all in a bubble. They can cart them all out to Euro Disney.
Just let them play in Euro Epcot or whatever.
I at least hope that the remote performances are done live. The possibility of them being pre-recorded, just, I understand if they think that that's a necessity, but it removes all of the vitality out of the contest.
I agree.
It's like a music video contest.
Yeah, that's all that is.
Yeah, and it's... We haven't had official word one way or the other whether these performances are going to be live or if they're going to be video recorded beforehand. A lot of this is still to be determined. We still have another couple of months before the contest happens. But honestly, the availability of these remote performances is probably one of the reasons why the EBU has said that countries are still able to join. I'm sure that if another country says, hey, if we don't have to fly a kid, their family, a delegation, to another country, maybe they'd be willing to do something from within their own borders. Yeah, and maybe a country like one of the ones that have bowed out maybe would come back. And we've lost a lot this year. Last year,
yeah
we lost Albania. We've lost Australia, of course. Say goodbye to Ireland, Italy, North Macedonia, Portugal, and Wales, many of whom have directly cited COVID as the reason for bowing out.
If they do this and it is live, some poor kid in Australia would have to get up and sing at like 2 a.m.
Well, so, I mean, if I they give them but... if they give them an espresso, or I mean, I guess if you're in Australia, they'll probably give you like a flat white morning, or something.
Just send them all the way to Darwin.
To Perth, you know. If they give them coffee, would that be like the kiddie version of a performance-enhancing drug?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. I'll have to give them a, I don't know. In favor of that. What do the kids drink these days? Faygo.
White Claw.
White Claw.
Oh, God. Kids don't drink. Grown-ups drink responsibly.
Give them a squirt, you know?
No one drink Faygo, by the way.
Wake him up, but like only from the extreme tartness.
Sidebar, speaking of Faygo.
Yeah, Faygo?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, what if Michigan sends ICP to the American Song Contest?
Oh, dear God.
Now, we haven't even brought up the American Song Contest here, but it's just like, if they send ICP one year, who are they going to send next year? You know, the zombies of the Supremes?
Well, we did bring up the contest last year.
Yeah, we did a whole show on it.
Yeah, no, dude, where were you?
We haven't, so not last year, but this episode.
Anyway, Junior Eurovision, which will hopefully contain no clowns whatsoever.
But I mean, it does break my heart. Like I've been to two junior contests, and the environment there is so completely different from the environment at senior. I mean, at senior, yeah, the delegation's mixing and mingling a bit, but generally speaking, delegations tend to stay kind of insular. You know, maybe they'll run into another delegation or two at their hotel or, you know, behind the scenes, but oftentimes they can stay a little bit, you know, in their own little groups. At junior, at least the two that I was at, all the delegations stay basically at the same hotel. So all the kids get to know each other. All the delegations are constantly meeting and interacting, and the kids just connect and they have fun. And it's not just a music competition. It's sort of like a summer camp, but it's generally in November. So, you know, a fall, like a scouting jamboree kind of thing. It's just, you have these talented kids. Like the number of times that I would go down to the hotel lobby and there'd be a piano and some of the kids are just jamming out and everybody's singing together, like the, you know, whatever Ed Sheeran song was popular at the moment. And it was heartwarming. Uh-huh. And you had moments like a couple years ago, there was both Armenia and Azerbaijan were participating in the same year. And at one point during an after party, the little boy from Azerbaijan and one of the girls from Armenia were dancing together, which was such a big deal. And it just such this incredible heartening, like these are two countries that are on this simmering edge of God only knows what, and their kids are dancing.
Were they sent to jail?
I haven't heard a lot about them since, so God only knows, but moving on. But I mean, moments like that, it really, really makes me sad that we'll get to see these incredible, incredible talented kids, but they won't have those moments of meeting all these new friends from around the world. So hopefully when COVID releases its grip on world and everything that we're doing, hopefully these kids will get a chance, maybe as special guests for next year's event, just so they can experience some form of the community that this provides.
I still think it's so weird that they don't let the junior winner perform their song at the main show. Like
they used to, at least a bit.
A 30-second clip or something like that. Like that's, it just feels like a disservice to their own product, I guess, of Junior Eurovision, that like these kids are so talented and they're so good and they should get a chance to perform at the main thing. I really think that.
I agree. And yeah. Honestly, it's really very cool to see, because Destiny, for example, showed up at the Eurovision for a little bit the year after she won Junior. And now to see where she is now, that she was going to be there this year. She will be in Rotterdam next year. Just to see it all come full circle for her like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Junior, it's going to be a weird, interesting festival this year. It'll be very interesting to see how the successes or failures of what we see in November, how that will reflect on the contest for grown-ups in May.
What's the deadline for them to announce whether they're going to participate?
I do not remember exactly. I think it's around January where they have to actually have the the list in, and then they have to be had their song in by March. But I could be wrong. Mm-hmm.
This format definitely feels like something they might be considering, depending on how things look in the spring for the main contest.
Yeah.
I don't really like it in either situation, which, I mean, I understand why they're doing it. It's the responsible thing to do.
Especially where kids are involved.
Yeah. Setting up an event where you have, in this case, about a dozen, but just anything where, you know, double digit amounts of countries are all getting together in a relatively enclosed space. I mean, we just can't do it, you know,
yeah.
But I don't know. I would feel bad. I mean, I feel bad for Poland for not getting to host the event like they normally would. I would feel really bad for Rotterdam for waiting for 2 years and then not getting to actually have a big arena show or whatever. But it seems like, you know, they've got to be considering a number of contingencies just so that there can be a contest next year, one way or another. And
we shall see.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how this goes. I mean, having them all done remotely maybe means you can do some other things differently. They can make something more interesting. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. And honestly, we have no idea what the memo from the EBU on the studio space is going to be like. Is it like a blank canvas? Like, can they do anything? Like, what can they bring to the space? They don't have to worry about constructing a prop in Kiev and having it shipped to other location. Honestly, it's a good budget move.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's
who knows?
Yeah, there's some concern that depending on how those instructions are done. And I remember people talking about this when there was some talk that maybe Eurovision 2020 would be run like this, that this really creates an uneven playing field.
Oh, absolutely.
When Sweden, to use main Eurovision as an example, Sweden can use their TV studio to do just about anything, whereas
a place like Moldova,
a place like Georgia, some place like that, they have limitations that a lot of the other countries don't have. And, you know, maybe that means you just feature the singer more directly. You stage it in a way that works well for what you've got, but it's still an uneven playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious to see how Junior tries to factor that in some way or not.
Yeah. Can I also just make the comment that looking at the list of participating countries, and just to, I don't think we went through the full list of who's going to be there this year, but just to do it really quickly, Armenia, Belarus, France, Georgia, Germany, Kazakhstan, Malta, Netherlands, Poland, Russia, Serbia, Spain, and Ukraine. With everything that is going on in Belarus right now, politically, I was surprised to see them on the list here.
A little bit, yes.
Pleasantly surprised, yeah. But I mean, there's been a lot of upheaval in the delegation, not in the delegation, in frankly, the national broadcaster. I was surprised that they were going to be spending time focusing on sending a kid to junior rather than everything that is going on. Unless it's a distraction technique of, hey, let's all focus on a talented kid.
Yeah. Do you think that if it was a, I mean, obviously they're not traveling anywhere now.
Right.
But when the idea was they'd be traveling, do you think the fact that they were just going over to Poland was a thing? Like if Spain had won and they had to go out to Madrid or Barcelona, do you think that would have been an issue?
A
tougher call.
That could have been an issue or a factor.
Speaking as someone who really enjoys Junior Eurovision, I think it's great that they're allowing themselves to do something like this, you know?
It'll be interesting to see if there are any messages in the song. How is it going to be just a happy, clappy, you know, teenager falling in love for the first time? Or is it going to be a song like we had from Ukraine a couple years ago, of, you know, make love, you know, not, no, say love, not war. You know, is it, I'm going to be very, very interesting. I'll be really, really fascinated to see what kind of song Belarus sends. Is it going to be a happy, clappy, fluffy little, I'm in love? Or is it going to be a more serious sort of demonstration of what it is like being a kid in a nation of upheaval, like we had from Ukraine a couple of years ago? And honestly, if there is that message, is it going to be something that the state is very much having its mark on? And will there be any spin or bias coming through? Because this is a state broadcaster that is the song. So a lot of interesting questions coming up here. We've had nations at war competing at Eurovision before, but to see it through the eyes of kids, it's I'm both looking forward to and slightly dreading the song from Belarus. And I say this as somebody who's very proudly Belarusian American. Like, come on, guys.
Don't make this weird.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes. You say so succinctly what I say in way too many words, as always.
I mean, I worry a bit that, like, because this is a state-run thing, that they would use this as an opportunity to deliver some sort of pro-state message.
Which they have done in the past, both at senior and junior.
This is what we say when we say making it weird. Please don't make it weird.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, like I said, you know, I love music. Or they could have a song like I Love Belarus that they sent to senior, or Serce Bielorussi, like they sent to junior in 2008. My hope is that they go completely off the wall and send something like what they sent in 2009, Volshebny Krolik, which was basically just a little boy crooning sort of semi-operatically about a magical rabbit and just confuse the hell out of everybody. Check that one out on YouTube if you have a moment. Belarus Junior Eurovision 2009. You're
welcome.
Trying
to cash in on that Biskebi vibe. Bees, then we had rabbits. It's like how everything in 2019 was a fuego. Everything in 2009 junior was a bzzz.
You know? I think just, you know what? Watch the Belarusian song, make up your own mind. Let us know what you think about it on Twitter or Facebook. 12 points. It's 1-2 points USA on either of those media. Email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com.
And buy our stuff on Redbubble, please. We need everyone who puts the rhythm inside to make it known. We're doing a count. So please do that.
Keeping it safe from bears. I am a composer. I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, parting shot prediction about Junior Eurovision 2021.
2021?
2020, sorry, is...
You're just done with 2020, let's be honest.
Poland releases bears.
I mean, into the audience, or...
I'm not going to say that it is part of an act. I'm not going to say part of a promotion or anything. They're just going to release bears in the studio. That's okay. All. That's it.
I agree with Danny. I think that's exactly what will happen.
I was going to say manatees, but yeah, yeah.
Just going to put them on dry land. Good.
Just kind of slide them out onto the stage. Yep, there you go.
Discard them. All right. Well, that seems about it.
I think that's a decent point to end things. What do you think, guys?
I think the prediction about bears and manatees, I think that's probably it.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, do you have any thoughts you want to weigh in on that?
Nah.
Nah.
Fair enough.
There's all a flood right. For the manatees.
They won't. They're cruel.
All right. Like I said, scope us out on social media. We'd love to hear from you guys. If your podcast listening vehicle of choice allows for subscription or for reviews, we would love it if you could do that for us. We'd love to get the feedback, especially if it's positive. We need our egos stroked on a daily basis. Ooh. But yes, we would love to hear from you. I guess that's it until the next time we meet, which will probably be in about, 2 weeks or so? Is that about right, give or take?
Couple weeks.
How about
we'll be back. We should be back in 2 weeks, I believe.
Sounds good. Well, until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now!
The theme music is now, it's got a lot of like sleigh bells and like, you know, a lot of brush on the snare drum. Yeah.
Very slapping sound that you hear.
So that's what your Christmases are like.
You know, on the Christmas shoes when you just hear like every now and then.
Oh God. Reason number 87 to hate the Christmas shoes.
T-minus two months until you hear the Christmas shoe. Again.
Speak for yourself.
All right, we're good. I mean, yes,
bring me back.
Yeah.
Bring me back.